feel shy when I think about Martin Luther King Jr. and the work that he started that really changed the world. I can't help but think about kids, because the civil rights movement really was a youth movement. I mean, young people took to the streets, organized boycotts, and today kids have also taken the lead on an issue that people are really concerned about, and that would be climate change.
Yeah, I ran into this with my son Gil. He's 9, and one day he just got really upset about pollution and, like, really upset. And so later we got to talking about the environment, and I asked him how he felt about sort of the state of the world and the fact that, you know, generations before him kind of created this situation.
That makes me frustrated, because that means we have to deal with it. Nobody before us or after us has to deal with it. We have to deal with it, since it's the current problem and we're the current people of the world.
Shai, I love Gil.
I know.
But that makes me so sad.
Yeah. It makes you cry.
It really, I'm kind of tearing up just thinking about the future for our young people. And you know, I recently talked about this generational divide with Sabira Mahmood. She's a junior at the Academy at Palumbo in South Philly, and she was the main organizer of that first youth climate strike in Philadelphia. Do you remember that?
Sure, of course.
So on this Martin Luther King Day, I wanted to know why Sabira feels responsible for taking to the streets at such a young age. I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Why.
So my name is Sabira Mahmood. I'm 17 years old, and a lot of my work is around the climate, but I like to consider myself as intersectional, because it's not just a single issue. It's kind of like everything embodied.
So Sabira, tell me how you became interested in climate change.
It was like a bunch of things combined, but my family is from Bangladesh. Most people kind of don't know it because of, like, the beauty it is. They know it of, like, the sinking country, like, as the headlines will say it.
If you want to get a sense of what's at stake at the Paris climate talks, Bangladesh pretty much says it all.
Bangladesh is more at risk from climate change than almost any other country.
For Bangladeshis, flooding is a way of life, with its mix of monsoons and cyclones.
I went there, I guess, around my fifth grade year. I was there for 3 months, and the last day, I was in Noakhali, where my family's from, which is all the way in the southern district near the water. There was a big flood. And I remember, like, my family was panicking. We had to get out as soon as possible. And it's not even just, like, through the floods and, like, the increased in high temperatures. The air quality is terrible. My uncle started posting stuff on his Facebook, and he was talking about how the dust storms are so bad. And I did more research, and I realized that this wasn't Bangladesh's norm. When my family lived there, when my parents lived there, this wasn't something that always happened. And that kind of, like, gave me more motivation.
Tell me about your journey. How did your journey into being an activist start? Where did it start?
Social media, really. I started seeing a lot of posts around, like, the mobilization that was happening, and I didn't really see a lot of organizing within my own community. I guess I tried to, like, get involved. I don't know how I really did. It's, like, really a big blur. But I remember I got this email in my inbox, and there was, like, a call happening from someone who was in Pennsylvania, and they were telling me about this huge mobilization for March 15th, which was the first global strike. And they were telling me about, yeah, you should, like, organize in Philly. Like, that's a really big city. And I had no idea, no idea how much work it was. And it was just me scrambling on social media being like, do you want to get involved? Like, this is happening. Like, like, respond to my story. Like, I want everyone involved. And no one responded. I had a friend who I did an internship with, and she was like, yeah, I'm interested. And she's actually still involved with the movement. Her, myself, and one other girl, we started organizing. We didn't even know what a permit was at the time. Now permit's, like, in my daily vocabulary.
So how did it go with you organizing the first Philly Youth Climate Strike?
It went really well.
Describe them to me. What did they look like?
So we had our first mobilization around 12 to 2 at Love Park, in which students were walking out of their schools.
If the social order is disrupted by our refusal to attend school today, then the system is forced to face the climate crisis and enact change.
And we had another one around 3 at City Hall, which is more accessible to people who weren't able to walk out. I remember I was introducing speakers and I got up and I was talking and people were like listening.
We are here today for one joint purpose, preserving our future. This protest is a statement. It is a statement to make lawmakers and world leaders.
And holding their signs, and we were doing chants and people were like chanting like no fossil fuels or for city council to listen.
What do we do?
There were so many people that actually they couldn't even see us.
How many people came out?
I believe it was around 500, and that was for that single strike. We had two rallies that day. And at City Hall, it was a smaller crowd, but it was the same amount of energy, the same powerful crowd that we would have had in the morning. And it was powerful.
When we come back,
as like a person of color, as a Muslim woman, it's terrifying to like be at like the face of something.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. I'm talking to high school activist Sabira Mahmood about the youth climate movement. Do you often feel dismissed by adults who make a first impression of you?
Yes. Yes and yes. I don't know how many times I've ranted about to people about this. I will be honest. I do look very young, especially in professional places. People will underestimate my mind and like my experiences and what I have seen in city council. When I go into those spaces in which they're supposed to be respecting the perspective of their constituents, I feel like I'm always put on that place of like, you need to be educated. You need to focus on school. And then when you're out of school, we can talk. But they don't know how, like, educated we are.
Sabira, why do you think that this is an issue that young people, very, very young people, have latched on to?
The adults really haven't noticed that we are the generation that is going to not have a future if they don't do anything. And so we're kind of reclaiming our future, in that sense, and making sure that we have the power.
I wonder, Sabira, we live in a dangerous world. And, you know, we live in a world where people can take offense to what you're doing so visibly and, you know, take scary action. I remember, I'm old enough to remember the civil rights movement with Dr. King. And I was a real little kid. I don't even think I was in grade school yet. But I remember watching these images from the South on television. And I remember my mother saying, those people are going to fool around and get themselves killed. And it scared me as a little kid. I was scared for them. Where do you see your activism fitting into Dr. King's legacy? And are you afraid?
Yeah, this is like a conversation I have like at like 2 a.m. when I'm overthinking everything. My parents are always like, be safe when you're doing this. As like a person of color, as a Muslim woman, it's terrifying to like be at like the face of something at times and having people like come up to you and talking about this, because you know you're not accepted in these spaces. You were never really accepted. Even with the civil rights movement, Black people were fighting for rights. Rights, by definition, should be given to everyone. It's not complicated. And we're holding that determination, those powerful traits that Dr. King has inspired millions of people we're not going to back down. And people have lost their lives to this movement in the way of Indigenous people standing up to the corporate businesses and losing their lives.
We begin today's show in Brazil, where an Indigenous forest protector named Paulo Paulino Guajajara was shot dead in the Amazon by illegal loggers on Saturday.
We're holding on to Dr. King's legacy. We're not going to stop. We're going to make sure that our voices are heard.
Well, Sabira, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Sabira Mahmood. She's a junior at the Academy of Palumbo in South Philadelphia. The Y was produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Ben-Yaakov, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, under the editorial direction of Katie Colinari. Special thanks to NPR's Jeff Brady. Hit me up on Twitter at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
Empowered to the people. Let's go march.